Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 16, Nashville, Episode 24 and going. This is the reunion part one. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review. You know, what I don't like about this season is with all these episodes from Decision Day up to reunion, it makes the reunion pointless.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's not a lot of new stuff we got. I think I text you, you're like, what do you think? I'm like, this is a snooze fest. Because I was expecting more. Maybe the second one is going to be the one that has a little bit more drama to it, but the old ones, you know, you had Decision Day and then you had the reunions. And so you got a lot more dirt of what has happened after Decision Day.
I wasn't a big fan of After Party when they started doing it. But then what I realized was they were making them talk about it in the sense like it was still that episode and they were still in that time, which we know it wasn't. But you're right. That kind of took away some of it because they gave away some of the things they were already thinking. Remember, that was the intrigue of the reunion was the fact that, all right, I wonder what so-and-so thought of watching this. So look, let's get to this week's episode. Kevin, you know, I will say meeting him in the airport when we're heading to St. Jude a couple months ago was, he is the same person that you see sitting down in those chairs. when you catch him in the airport, when you see him in baggage claim, just anywhere, he's just on the plane, the same nice guy. He really is a nice guy, man. And watching him deal with them and even the little conversations with himself that they showed him having throughout this reunion, pretty interesting.
he seems pretty cool. You know, it's not often you see people on TV because you always think this is their personality and like I probably wouldn't want to meet them in person. He seems like a dude I wouldn't mind meeting at the airport. And he seems friendly enough that he would just kind of BS with you a bit and talk a bit about the shows that we're watching.
Yeah, no, indeed. Now, the first thing he did was he had the whole cast out there, wanted to catch up with everybody. Come to find out, Nicole, realizing that she was getting a taste of her own medicine, you know, and realized, oh, there are other people who talk a lot, too. At least she's self-aware, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she realized it's not cool to hear someone else doing it to you. It's like, yeah, that's what you did the whole time.
Then come to find out, Clint is now living in the same building as Chris and Nicole. Is it because he kidnapped Hank and took him with him, or he had to get away from Gina? Or what's going on? Why is he no longer in the same place with Gina anymore? Did he just have to get away from her?
I don't know. And I don't know why I thought those were like condos that they were living in and that he owned it. And maybe he did and he sold it and just moved. But I think it's cool that they have this bond and connection, and Chris and Nicole and Clint, they all get along really well. So I think it makes sense. Why is everybody wearing these ballroom dresses, though? Like, where did that come from? Is this prom? Is it prom or what?
No, what it is, they tell them dress up. You know, hey, it's the reunion. You know, you got to come dressed to the tee at the reunion.
I get being dressed nice. What I don't get is dressing up in these ballroom dresses. And like Shaq and Kirsten come out matching. I'm like, why are y'all doing this?
Well, were they really matching though? Their yellows were slightly off, right?
I was leaning more towards gold, but
okay,
whatever.
Well, I mean, you know, look, my Crayola crayon box has 8 colors. Yours may have fuchsia and all that. I got 8 colors in mine.
Yeah, you know, I started from the middle. Now I'm here. So I started out with a good crayon box.
What do you think when Jasmine said that people have been suggesting that she date Gil? First of all, would that be a good match? We know it'd be better than him and Dom. But what do you think of that and Dom's reaction when she heard that statement?
I don't know if she would be a good match for Gil. Part of me says no. But I'm like, why is everybody all loving on Gil?
Right.
You know, I liked Gil, you know, from season 13, but leave that man alone. And I think Dom realized pretty quickly she has no shot with Gil. And so he friend zoned her and she's just appreciated it.
Speaking of Dominique and the way people were dressed, Nikki B says Dominique was dressed for her own retirement party at the banquet hall. She looked terrible.
Yeah, she looked like she was going to the VFW after this.
Hey, the VFW had some bomb parties back in Vietnam. Trust me. There was a lot of stuff that went down there. There was a lot of stuff that went down. Melissa says Dom looked overdressed and uncomfortable.
Yeah, and apparently people are sliding up in Dom's DMs,
yes,
asking for cleavage pics, and they'll send her money. I was like, make your money, boo.
Hey, sounds like, and you know, what's her name? Jordan could have probably given her some advice from Love in Paradise. Like, hey, so look, and if you smash cakes with them, they'll pay extra.
Smash cakes with a cleavage? I don't know. Don't know what that looked like.
Hey, it's not my thing, but apparently there are people who like that thing. Now, come to find out, Mac also has his own house, as Kevin's like, so you're not living in anybody's basement anymore. He's like, nah, I've got my own now.
I got my own basement. It's like, ooh, Mac. Fall in.
Exactly. Well, you know, we knew this would get revisited at some point, right? Even though, like you said, because of all these extra shows, we've already heard about this. But Clint's slender comment. I still see nothing wrong with the comment based on what Gina had said to him previously. And even still, after watching the show, nobody brought it up. Why?
I think all of them just wanted to just be done with it.
Yeah.
Because if any of them really felt Clint's comment wasn't that big a deal, well, then that's going to ruin their relationship with Gina. Mm-hmm. I think this, again, I've said it multiple times. This is in Gina's head. When he said, I usually date slender people, she took that as he says, you are too big. And he didn't say that.
Exactly.
He just said, hey, here's the types of people I've normally gone out with. The purpose of the show is to get out of your norm. Right. You can use, if it's not working for you to date the people you normally go for, let the experts, finger quotes, work their magic and see if you can find something else. And that's all Clint was saying. I think Gina blew that out of proportion.
And so did Nicole.
But see, Nicole has self-image issues.
Right.
Jasmine had self-image issues. Mm-hmm. I think Dominic's probably the only one that didn't have self-image issues because I think she thinks she's the shit.
Yeah, she definitely does. And she was like, whatever. Which, a couple of things we learned from this season. You know, you don't say you like slender women because all God the women forbid. Except one was upset. And you don't say a woman is thick like Chris told, said about Nicole. And said, you know, she's a little thicker than I'm used to. Well, you know, you would think that, especially you don't say that about white women, but if you're at Martha's Vineyard, you also don't say it even if she's black, because apparently that's what Alex found out when he said, hey, you're looking a little thick. You know, at first you thought that was going to be a compliment to a sister. No, to nobody. You don't say to a woman that she's thick.
Apparently you can't say anything. You can't say what your normal is. You just got to say, oh my God, you're the best thing I've ever met. No one looks as good as you. She don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I still say that there's nothing wrong. Say someone's, you know, thicker than a Snicker. I look at that as a compliment.
You know, I just want to point this out real quick so you can understand this. This is how Trump got elected. I hate to turn to politics, but you say you can't say this. You can't say this because even Michelle goes, you just don't mention weight, period. You say you're not supposed to ask a woman how much she weighs or how old she is. I ask the questions you're not supposed to.
I don't agree with that. I think, and this takes a lot of work. It's not easy for people to do that. Mm-hmm. You got to get comfortable with who you are because whoever likes you is going to like you for you. If you're thick, if you're big, if you know, those are things that you can change if you wanted to. But even if you're happy with it, great. Find a guy who's happy with that. And anyone else who says otherwise, bump them, have them kick rocks, and focus on the dudes who like that. I think what's funny to me, though, is like I find that more, in my experience, I think more white women get uncomfortable being called thick. Or when black guys start to like them, they're like, oh, shoot, I need to lose some weight.
Oh, you got a big ass. Oh, shit.
I'm getting into brother territory. That's not what I intended.
Time to put on these running shoes and do a couple miles.
Wait a minute. Preston and Tanner don't like this. I got to get in shape. But I mean, I think more white women get bothered by it.
You are stupid.
Cheers.
You know, the thing was, Kendra says, you know, it's not like he said, I don't date anyone as big as your ass. He never said that, right? and Laura, I think Laura's on our side because she goes, Laura says, but you can talk about dick size and hair loss. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if he was like, you know, I normally don't date anyone like this, like you. That would be wrong.
Yes.
You know, but I think she just took it wrong and never really let it go. And I think that was the demise of their relationship. She was not going to move forward or try or put in any effort.
Right.
After that.
Exactly.
Even though Clint, 40-minute apology, he apologized to the group. I just think it all hope was lost at that point.
I'm glad he stressed the fact that it was a 40-minute apology and just let us know. Like, look, he did that even though he didn't have to, because she gave him so much crap for so long. And then he finally makes one comment that she doesn't like. And, oh, well, he did it in front of everybody. Remember, that was one of the comments in the live chat when that episode happened. Like, yeah, but she did it in front of everybody, too, because the cameraman was still there. She knew it was being filmed. She knew they were going to air that.
Remember, right.
They liked it so much, they brought it back to traumatize him with the fake date that he had with his fake friend. But look, we'll get to them a little later. Eris's cousin, for some reason, why did I think her name was Fallon? It's Felina, right? At least that's how Kevin pronounced it.
I put Fallon. I had Fallon in my notes, but it could be Felina.
That's what I thought, too.
But Eris's cousin. We can just call her that. It doesn't matter.
Eris's hating ass cousin. we get to see some never before seen footage of Eris saying, talking to Jasmine after she had that sit down the next day after they got married, and said, oh, well, you know, I like strong women. And basically he was calling Jasmine weak.
Not only that, he called her busted. He said, you look like you just worked a 16-hour shift.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's worse than calling somebody thick or whatever. Like, you look like you just worked a 16-hour shift. Oh, Jesus, God. What happened?
You all right?
I mean, and I agree that Eris should have shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand why he didn't, because he barely knew Jasmine at that point. So it's one thing to say, hey, this is my wife. If I've been dating this person for a couple of years and now we get married, you make a comment and punch you in the throat. But I don't really know her yet. And he's not attracted to whatever he wasn't attracted to. So he's not feeling this allegiance to Jasmine at all.
Yeah.
And this is his cousin who he's known, you know, since he was, what do you say, 4 months old?
Yeah.
So I get why he's like probably not going to say anything, but he was wrong and should have shut it down.
He should have. And it's it really is, regardless. And I get it. It's the day after, but still, like, hey, I get it. You had your jokes. You need to support me doing this next time. Okay. And it's really it was really telling that he didn't do any of that. Right. The other thing was all the women had Jasmine's back. Unlike Eris did. But then McKinley tries to defend Eris by saying, you know, he seemed conflicted. You know, like you said, you know, he had this time. And all of a sudden, wait, so you agree with him? No, I mean, I feel like he thought Jasmine was weak. Oh, Jasmine got strong right there. And like, then sit your ass down and shut up.
But I get where Eris is coming from, because I wouldn't want somebody to come to me and be like, your cousin gave me the sads and you need to do something about it. I'm like, why don't you check them? Because if I'm with someone and their cousin says something that pisses me off, I'm going to say something.
Right.
Right there. Be like, hey, can we talk for a second? And I'm going to correct that real quick. So, and I think that's what Eris is wanting. And we saw that throughout the whole season. Mm-hmm. He wants a more stronger, I wouldn't fully say alpha, but he needs a stronger woman than what Jasmine is.
Right. And you know what? Because we are here on them, and we're gonna actually just go ahead and transition into them, because they were the first couple up, Eris and Jasmine. Now, before we actually even got to sit down with them alone, Eris apologized for not, you know, stepping up throughout the entire marriage, the entire, you know, 42-week season that we've been through, and defending her at any point in time, because even later on, he never did. But to me, that apology was fake as hell, because Kevin had to ask him, so, Daryl, would you like to apologize? That's not a real apology, right?
Yeah. fine, I'll apologize. That's what everybody wants me to do. I'll do it. Right. Yeah, no.
I'm sorry for whatever it is you think I didn't do or did.
Yeah, but here's what's interesting is as they are together, you know, Jasmine really says that Eris has been very honest with her mm-hmm. throughout a lot of the process, which I respect that. So they probably had a lot of one-off conversations where he yes. was pretty upfront. Mm-hmm. So she knew the deal. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like she was blindsided, you know, every episode or throughout the whole thing, the filming. I think she knew week one, this is never going to happen. Yeah. And she just had to go through it.
No, indeed. And it's one of those things where Kevin tried to get what it was out of them. And of course, Jasmine's just sitting there not saying anything because he didn't ask her. Because what I know is he never once asked, well, what was it? You know, you can't get the answer out of Eris. Eris is good at avoiding answering questions, right? He never once turned to Jasmine and said, okay, would you like to let everybody know? Because Eris kind of already said, look, out of respect for her, I'm not going to say it. And actually, what he really meant was what he said after that, because people are going to drag me if I say this.
Right. But this is why I don't think it was the teeth. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was it, that he was like, man, everything about you is amazing until you smile mm-hmm. or you laugh with your mouth open and I lose all interest. I don't think that is what happened. I think there's something else. And I would say kudos to Eris mm-hmm. for not airing that. Him and Jasmine know what the issue yeah. is. And that's all that matters.
What'd you think of the way he said it? He goes, he's afraid of backlash and refuses to say what he really wants to say. Very carefully chosen words there. He said, what I really want to say. So he wants to say it. He just knows if he says it, it's going to be bad. So I'm glad he didn't. And then when they talked about her body size, and was it that she was too slender? You know, she wasn't Serena because, and it's interesting when he's like, well, I didn't say that. Roll the tape. You know, they pulled the Montel Williams.
Yeah. Her body size, I think, was fine. And with Nikki B, Nikki B says it was the teeth because that's the only physical feature she changed so far. I see why you would think that, but I don't, because what if it's a physical feature she can't change?
Right.
You know, what if it's something that you can't do anything about? You know, I'm 5'10". If somebody's like, Terrell, you are amazing, but I only date men who are 6'2". I can't change that.
Well, technically you can. There's a surgery.
I'm not doing that knee or shin surgery, whatever
you can,
that's been going around.
You can't.
Not doing it. But I mean, I can't change that. So I'm like, hey, I get it, you know, but if someone said, hey, your grill's messed up or okay, I can fix those things. Mm-hmm. But I think it's something else besides the teeth.
Yeah. I mean, she went to Gina's orthodontist, so, you know, what? Tell me it didn't look like Gina's. They
did. She went to the puppet master. Hey, see what you did to Gina's teeth? Just on the bottom. I just need that on the bottom. Top is fine.
She did the top. She did both of them. So it's and kudos to her because I guarantee you a lot of it became because a lot of people had a lot of things to say. And, you know, social media is a nasty place. You know it. I know it. And I knew people were going to give her a hard time. It probably was tough for her sitting there watching it again. Because as they're showing all these things, I know that's what's standing out for her because it stood out for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And it's seeing it on TV, I think. So that's why one of the reasons why we never wanted to talk about that in the very beginning. And you guys kept bringing it up in the live chat. But it's one of those things. We made that decision not to because we knew she was getting dragged for that. And it's like, you know what? Yeah. We don't need to pile on. We make jokes on everybody. But that's something in that moment she couldn't change at the time. And honestly, I wish she would have just done it the natural way. But hey, you can't tell somebody how to do it the way they do. Like, she could have done the braces, whatnot. But hey, let me do it faster. Let's get it ready for the reunion. I got it. And whatever works for her, as long as she's happy, we're happy. We're happy for her because she looks like she's in a much better place now than she was on that show. She was miserable as hell on the show.
Yeah, she was. And I do like the fact that you and I are aligned that we don't do that. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the guys or the girls, we don't make fun of some people's physical challenge. We might make fun of outfits, something like that, which that's fine. Mm-hmm. But when she first came on, I was like, I'm not going to say anything. And everyone would come to the comments. I would just look and laugh, but I would not pull it up mm-hmm. because that's just not fair to her. But I don't think we ever do that. And if Jasmine was ever to get a glimpse of our show, at least she would say, okay, they're funny, but they didn't really make fun of me that much. We made fun of some stuff, but nothing that was like her physical. Hopefully it wouldn't impact her self-esteem.
I will say, Michelle's in the Grinch thinks it's more than teeth. And Marcella says, what I got from Eris's verbiage is that there's something about Jasmine that turned him off sexually. And he told Jasmine, and he agreed not to reveal it. And that's what it felt like with
him.
And you could tell they had a good connection, because as they get to more never before seen footage, and they're talking about the open marriage, right? And, you know, Eris makes this comment. But then it comes, this is where I think you get to see their relationship. And why they're such good friends. Because people are noticing that they were sitting, Annette says, Jazz and Eris still had on wedding rings and Jazz sitting in his armpit. Why? Well, they're still good friends. And she said she was attracted to him, right? But one of the things she said was, if there are three sentences to be said, Eris should say two and discard the third.
She kept saying that like a comedian that's bombing, that's keep trying to do the same joke. I was like, okay, it's not all that funny.
But it was a good line.
He should have said two, but he said three. No, Eris, I think Eris needs to stay Eris. I don't think he should change one bit. And what will happen is he'll be around people who like and appreciate him for that. There are going to be people who don't like them or don't like him and his personality. I'm like, Eris, just continue being you. Keep saying this stuff. Now, here's what's also funny is that Eris said that when he would get to points where he was just over the filming, because that's something that we don't really talk about or even see a lot of is the time it takes each day that they're doing this. And imagine having a camera in your face, your producer trying to get you to set up, have conversations and all that after a crazy day at work. You got personal life stuff going on, but you got to do this for the filming. And when he would be over it, he would just say whatever. And apparently he said that thing about the open marriage, but told her like right after they stopped filming, look, I was just joking.
Right.
And Jasmine confirmed.
Exactly. Now, before we move on from them, 2 points. One, we did see this happen. Was it season? It was a DC season. And the black couple, the guy, life, I can't remember his name, but he got pissed off about filming. And, oh, he really had it out with the producers. And, of course, they kept filming and they showed us that. So thank you for – we thank them for that, because you signed the contract that says we can film all this crap and so you're stuck. But Whitley has said, you know, so glad that Eris refused to say, and the tacky host kept asking. Here's where I fight back on that, because the problem is if you – I don't think he was tacky for asking, because it's questions that everybody wanted to know, right? And the thing about journalism is – and. You know, it, part of what you have to do as a host is ask those questions. You need to ask the questions that and try to go deeper than what they're giving you. So people are going to feed you BS at times. And sometimes Eris is feeding BS. And if they're not going to answer the question, ask it again. Find another way to ask it. See if you can get the answer. So I don't think it's bad for him. It was bad for him. I don't think he was tacky for it. I think it was what he should have done. Because if he didn't, then just say, oh, you're just throwing softball questions to everybody and you're just, you know, laughing up with everybody and making it easy for them and not asking the questions that need to be asked. So, yeah.
Agree. I think Kevin did a great job with that. And look at this. None of us on this thing right now knows really why Eris was not attracted to Jasmine.
Yep.
Those are questions we wanted. We were waiting for the reunion to hopefully find out what was it. And we still have no idea.
And thank you, everybody in the chat. It was Brandon. Brandon's the guy from DC who did that. Now, Adrian came out, Jasmine's friend, and she was not here for the disrespect from Eris's hating ass cousin. as we're going to name her. I did see somebody else in the chat said it was Felina is what Kevin called her.
Is it Adrian or April?
I thought it was Adrian.
I thought they were saying April, because my notes originally I put Jasmine's cousin, and then they said the names a couple times. I was like, oh, it's April. And I changed it in my notes from Jasmine's cousin. Jasmine's cousin said to April said.
And I have Adrian says, because that's what I heard. My TV said Adrian, yours said April. Jasmine's friend.
Yeah. Jasmine's friend or whoever it was.
Her thought was that Jasmine was too reserved for Eris. But she said, look, that's just on camera, because I have a feeling that, you know, off camera, she would have been Megan Thee Stallion. Hold up. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Well, she's just saying that, and this is something that we all talked about before on the show, is that, you know, Jasmine being a cheer coach, a mentor, to a lot of young girls, mm-hmm. she couldn't be on this show talking about her favorite sexual position,
right?
Exactly. And all those different things that Eric was asking. So I think she's right that it's not that that's not in her. Mm-hmm. It's just I have a job and I mentor children, and yes. they're going to see this. I can't be on here. It's like, oh yeah, doggy on the couch.
Oh, Miss Jasmine, whatever. I saw you on TV.
Yeah, yeah, I know. They just all posing like, Miss Jasmine, this is you, right? What, Miss Jasmine, is this you? Pull my hair. Pull my hair. That's you, Miss Jasmine? She couldn't do any of that. Right. And so I think that she would have been, you know, maybe a decent match to, well, actually, I don't think she still would be a good match to Eris's sexual desires, but she's not a prude. It's just, right. you know, she can't say that's up front of kids.
No, exactly. And, you know, Dallas Boss has a great point here because so from the first Boston season, Jeffy, he was very conservative and, you know, it was because of his students as well, too, because you have to think about what's being shown. And if you're aware of it and you keep that in mind, then you're going to be a little reserved on camera because Lord knows you can be wild off camera. But when that camera starts rolling, you know, you're going to have to answer to it.
Dallas Boss, I just want to understand. Dallas Boss says Jasmine definitely has Megan knees. Eris missed out. I'm even lost on that one, but it's funny.
Okay, so I have to explain to Megan's knees to you at some point.
Thank you. Yeah, because I'm like, I don't understand. Because I'm like, I don't think I've seen Megan's knees. I'm just like, what's wrong with her knees?
Okay. We're going to have to. You sound like Clint right now, so we're going to have to explain it to you real quick. He said, I haven't seen her knees. No,
I'm thinking about the video, the WAP video. I'm like, what's wrong with her knees? And then, have I seen Jasmine's knees? I'm thinking it's like literally the knees.
This is so funny. No, so when Megan talks, she drops all the way down. And, you know, to talk about Megan's knees, because you got to have strong knees. Because as you get older, women, if they go down, they're not coming back up. If you start dancing with a woman and she drops down, if you follow her down, you probably have to roll over to get back up.
I know.
And see, that's what they talk about. Like Melissa says, wow, Joe, your age is showing.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm not around a lot of young people. I don't hear the new lingo. I didn't know what that meant. At least I'm honest.
Okay. Melissa has a great way to put it to you. Let's see, put it in perspective for you. Get low. You remember?
I do.
Okay.
I do remember get low. Back in the day, yeah, I did. Now I'm just like, I do the thing with the neck where it's like you're faking like you're getting low, but you're really not. But you just fake it. I'll do that all day long.
Don't ever do that again. All right, moving on before so we can wrap up with Eris and Jasmine. Oh my God, I can't believe we actually got through that just now. Friend boy, coming to find out he is now her man.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it was her choice not to show his face.
And that was cool because I think a lot of us thought it was him who didn't want to be on camera,
right?
Because then we thought this was just some staged fake thing to.
Right.
Make it show like, you know, Married at First Sight gave a hell about someone actually wanting to kiss and touch Jasmine.
Right.
So I thought that was revealing. That was great to know.
I will say that's the one thing that another thing that Kevin did was like, because the first thing we thought was, oh, why doesn't he want to be on camera? And he's right, because we all asked those questions. Everybody did. He's on a production team.
He was an actor. Yeah, he's an actor. Like, hey, I'm dude, but don't put me on camera. Yeah.
And which, you know what? All those things can still be true. And she just goes, all right, so here's what my storyline is going to be. Well, we'll see what happened with Chris and Nicole. We're not going to do that. Not Chris and Nicole, with Clinton Nicole, right? So, but speaking of Nicole, let's get to this couple right here. Chris and Nicole, the one couple that made it throughout this entire thing. And Kevin wasn't a believer in these two from the beginning. You and I both called this from the start. These two will make it. They have still made it. They're still going strong. And you are so tired of them. Why?
It's great. Y'all made it, but it's just boring. I'm sure anyone else in the chat, did you want to fast forward through the whole Chris and Nicole one-on-one interview with Kevin? I was like, I don't need to hear anything. Y'all made it. You're still in love with each other. And everything is awesome. Great. What else do we need to hear about? Because anything that Kevin was going to bring up during the 8-week experience, Mm-hmm. We know they just got right past it and they were good. I'm like, why do we need to do this? We just gave them all a high five and moved on to the other couples. Could have made this one part one, not a part one, just one reunion. And yeah. That's it. Take out some of this crap.
Kitty says, I muted their entire section. Reed said, I put them on mute. Allison says, yes, yes, yes. Mr. Wood says, I cannot stand hearing Nicole. Look, here's the thing about this. One of the things that I think we got to see, and I don't think you were surprised by it with them either, was that never before seen footage when Chris had his meltdown and about the dogs. And, you know, Nicole went from Nicole to, you know, Karen, and decided to go talk to producers. Like, we got to figure this out. Okay. We got to fix this because they're like our children. And, you know, we wouldn't leave children behind. So we got to figure this out. And the producer's like, yeah, we will. Y'all didn't figure shit out. Figured it out was one of your dogs got to go.
We don't know what they figured out, what they didn't. You know, so we don't know. They could have alternated and rotated dogs in. We just didn't catch on filming because they got put on the chopping block floor, whatever. Chopping room floor. So the thing I was most annoyed about with just them interviewing those two, there really just wasn't a lot of substance to it. But I did get more interested when Kevin was like, hey, here's what I said. I predicted y'all weren't going to work. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, Nicole, what did you think about that? And that's when she wanted to go off. Well, I thought that you were very judgy. And then I'm like, is it like looking in the mirror, Nicole? Is that what it is?
it really was. It's interesting the way she kind of went at him in that space. But, you know, look, the thing that I do want to point out, it came from Laura here, says, Terrell, you still put Nicole on that 5-hour kayak trip, even though you're like, yeah, you know, you wanted to fast forward to them, but you still picked her.
I knew that they were going to be, I knew it was going to work out. Mm-hmm. Chris doesn't give up on relationships. He's been, you know, tormented, mentally abused, had sex with somebody once in a year. Mm-hmm. Chris doesn't walk away.
Right.
No matter how annoying she was going to be. So I thought they were going to work out really well. And I see why the experts matched them. So if you think about, if you take away everything about this season and just put these two and just watch only them, you'd say, wow, this married at first sight thing actually works.
Now, since the cameras left, they said no real arguments. Dogs are great. She's still not ready for kids yet. Well, they're still not. Yeah, she's really not ready for kids yet. But I'm looking for a house with the yard for them, just damn dogs, so they can get all those dogs out the bed. Well, they'll still be in the bed. They're still going to let them in there regardless.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure they will.
And apparently, you know, Nicole's dad, Mark, loves Chris now.
Yeah. And apparently Chris now has BDE.
I didn't know that was something you can go grab. I'm going to pick up some BDE from the store today. Let me get a 6-pack.
It grows. It grows. It's like the Grinch's heart, you know, in the Christmas time.
You have it or you don't.
No. Some people are growers, some people are showers. And he just had eventually grow his BDE. And
that's only when you're going to stop that today. Oh my God. So they bring all the ladies back out, right? And we find out what we always knew. Nicole is the counselor of the ladies.
Yep.
You know, but one of the things I like to see was that the women all rallying around it. We talked about it quite a bit throughout the season too, how the women kind of rallied around each other. They did it around Gina, you know, even though they were all wrong. But Jasmine especially, they really did, especially with all she was going through with Eris, which I'm still trying to understand why was she crying so much then, if she says that she got friend zoned on the honeymoon and they've been good friends ever since.
So that's exactly where my mind was going with Jasmine. Okay, great. Ladies, y'all rally around Jasmine and she breaks out some tears. I'm like, wait a minute. You were friend zoned pretty much from the beginning and you knew that. You did some little self work on, you know, did some work on yourself and got your smile fixed and all that. You should be feeling amazing. What are you crying about?
Right.
Like, what's the issue there? I couldn't understand that. And then I'm looking at the ladies like, why are y'all still rallying around her? Eventually say, hey, Jasmine, nut up. You're good. You won out of this. You didn't say yes. He didn't say yes. you blew up.
Well, I think for her, it's just that, and part of it has to be maybe just because she really wanted this, right? She wanted this. I think she wanted the marriage more than anything else, right? And she didn't feel like she got a fair shot. And I think that may be part of it. The fact that she didn't feel like she had a fair shot. And that is probably part of it. Like, I put my heart and soul into this. I put myself on the line. I'm getting ridiculed on the line for this crap. And this guy didn't even try.
But I would get that if the reunion was week 9.
Right.
Of the show. Mm-hmm. It's been a year. Mm-hmm. Seriously? Anyway. Yeah. It is what it is.
Now, listen to the guys talk about getting some after the show was over, right? You know, they showed them that. Jasmine, of course, not surprised because she says Eris was counting down the days. But some of them looked a little surprised.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't? You sleep in the same bed with somebody that you don't want to touch, mm-hmm. and you're not interested in, and you have to do this for 8 weeks because money's on the line. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are counting down the days to send that text. Hey, big head, I'm back.
Hey, so I just spent the last 8 weeks at your friend. Yeah.
Because I wonder if that's who he went with, which my gut tells me that's probably who he went with is their mutual connection on Instagram. Mm-hmm. That's what he hooked up with. But I thought the ladies, I mean, this is what annoyed me about the ladies. They seem so like, oh, that's disgusting and gross. There's too many conversations where women say, you know, we are just as nasty and sexual and freaky as men. But then when we see stuff like this, it's like, well, stop acting like y'all aren't. Wait, you all are. You know, Kirsten wanted 8 inches and all that stuff. And then now you hear about these guys who lived with somebody mm-hmm. for 2 months, didn't have sex. Now they finally, a week or two after decision day, yeah, finally did. And that's gross and bad. I don't see it.
But here's the thing. You say all that, but then when Shanice said on Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, when she said she left and she went and got some, you're like, ugh.
No. I had no issue with her going to get some and she got it. All I said was she's for the streets because that's all she's about. Even when she was coming to Martha's Vineyard, she's like, I'm here. I want to have sex with somebody. Mm-hmm. I just thought that's what I made fun of her about. But stop blending shows.
Don't hold me accountable for another show.
Yeah, don't hold me for remembering everything I said about previous shows because when we end the broadcast, it normally is like right out of mind, you know, out of sight, out of mind after that.
And our Dallas boss says 8 inches is average. Leave Kirsten alone. She just wants average. She doesn't want superb. She doesn't want extra. She just wants average.
So much to unpack there, Dallas boss. And I love you so much. But 8 inches is not average. Let's just stop that. And science and doctors will say the same. This is not just, I'm not trying to speak up for people listening to this. All I'm saying is 8 inches is not average, and you just can't put that out there.
Now, one of the things Kevin asked was, like, what kind of man do each of them need? For Gina, they were saying she needs somebody rough around the edges and someone who has swag, right? I'm like, okay. For Dom, they said she needs a lumberjack or someone who's adventurous, someone who'll go fishing with her.
No, someone strong enough to put it with her bullshit, but go ahead.
For Jasmine, they're like, no, we're not putting that out there. We're not going through another breakup. This is going to be it. This one's going to work out. They didn't even want to discuss what kind of man she was. She needs a friend boy, obviously. But for Kirsten, Nicole was quick to jump up and say, Shaquille.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I wish they would have, like, you know, zoomed in on Kirsten's face when she said that. Cause I'm just curious what I want to see her facial expressions. She was saying it, but yeah, she's not ready to give up on it. I'm like, Nicole, just focus on your stuff.
Right.
That's what makes her annoying. Just focus on your stuff. I get it. Your heart's in the right place. You just want to see Kirsten happy.
Yeah.
But I think too much has happened for there ever to be a chance for Shaq and Kirsten to get together.
No chance, says we already know Nicole is delusional.
yeah
we do know that. So next couple next couple up here is this wonderful, it should be really a throuple because one person is missing, and that's Hank, because we're talking about Clint and Gina, who they came out, they're looking, you know, Kevin says looking like they're a good couple. But if you look at the body language, Gina's very closed off to Clint as they're sitting there. She's, everything with her is turned away from him, and she's kind of leaning away from him.
I really think that Gina is just real irritated. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say disgusted, but she just despises Clint.
Yes.
And they can put on this facade that they're great friends, and I truly believe that Clint is trying on his end.
Yeah.
But I just think Gina is just who she is. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't a big fan, and I was really disappointed in this couple in their one-on-one interview, because I was like, Clint, this is your chance.
Yeah.
Get her. And kudos to Clint, because the Scorpio and me, I would have came with note cards. And remember that time you did this?
Right.
Remember that time you did this? Mm-hmm. But Clint took the high road, so kudos to him.
He really did, because Gina was still acting like she actually tried to make it work when you know she
right.
didn't. I mean, because
right.
you didn't want to move in, you didn't want to do this, all these things. And then when Kevin asked, is there a chance that this could work? Because it seems like y'all have this great friendship. You know, Clint's like, well, you might have to ask her. And then she's like, well, you know, nothing. She doesn't say anything first. And she's like, there's still no physical chemistry, right? But then we kind of find out a little bit more. Clint said that he tried to get Gina to open up, and she just never would. Every time he would start conversations and, you know, give a little bit of himself, she would just, oh, well, that's great. And shut the conversation down. Never. And she's like, well, I just didn't know that you were trying to, you know, get to know me.
Because she kept talking about the salon, which that was the issue that we've all had with her, is every conversation was about the salon. And Clint tried so many ways to, at least on camera, and I'm sure even more off camera, mm-hmm. so many ways to try to engage and get more information out of her, because all of us feel like we still don't know who Gina is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know she has a salon. Apparently she lost $100,000 due to a bad contractor.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not the best business person. And then she says that, yeah, I'm still ready for marriage because I truly feel I have a lot to offer as a wife.
Yeah.
Like what? Listen, you know, you can give me an edge up every now and then.
Well, she can give the glow up, which even though Clinton didn't know what that was.
Yeah, well, still, I just wonder, like, because she didn't share a whole lot, we're not going to talk about that, because apparently we got a lot of judgy people in the chat that want to knock me because of my age. But I think I almost forgot what I said. But yeah, I think I really think that Clint, I was hoping he'd go after her a lot more. And especially when she said that she has a lot to offer as a wife.
Yes.
That's when I wish Clint would have been like, give us specifics. What? Because yeah. I was trying to ask you a lot of things you never shared with me.
Yeah.
So now let's share with Kevin.
Yeah, let's share with everybody else the things that you wouldn't say to me. Because Kevin did ask about the salon, and, you know, Clint admitted what, you know, he thought the same thing that we all did, that she was there to promote her business. And then he gave her an out. That's it. Here's the thing. He had the opportunity there to say, like, every time I'd ask her something, the only thing she'd bring up is this damn salon.
Yeah.
Great. But I make more money on my job, which is why I'm able to go sell, you know, racing sailboats all the time, because then you're making with your salon. You know, you're entrepreneur, you. But he never did. He's been the nice guy this entire time. And they come to find out, since the cameras stopped rolling, there's a reason why he's Mr. Nice Guy, not worried about her, and didn't have to be, you know, Terrell and, you know, bring out the note cards. He's dating somebody else and he's happy.
Yeah. He has a regular person, keeps the pipes clean. He's relaxed. He's happy. He's not walking around too much on edge. So it makes sense. I'm curious to know what she looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great if she was a redhead. I was hoping he was going to say, mm-hmm. I'm dating a redhead.
Right.
Like, by their powers combined, like Captain Planet or something.
Well, you know, we know one thing she is. Slender.
Well, how do we know that?
That's his type.
How do we know that? She might not be slender. She could be thicker than a Snicker like Gina. But a little bit more outdoorsy, a little more comfortable with it. Who knows?
It could be Dom. All we know. So last couple that was on here this week, Shaquille and Kirsten. She's traveling. Shaq is back in therapy. And matter of fact, not only is he in therapy, he's in your neck of the woods.
Shaq now currently works at my alma mater, mm-hmm. Houston Tillotson University here in Austin, Texas, the first school of higher learning in Austin, Texas, and it's HBCU. And I'd heard this, that he was working there, and someone had sent me something that, and what I'm assuming happened is that the social media team posted it, mm-hmm. but then maybe Shaq was like, hey, I need y'all to take that down and not make it visible to this point, because I went looking for it. I found zero communication over the last few weeks about Shaq and my university. Mm-hmm. And then after watching this deal, I went back and I saw it was posted June 2nd. I'm like, that really wasn't there June 2nd.
Right.
But I'm thinking that's what happened.
You know, and thank God you got out of there before he got there. And, you know, your speech pattern might be very different if you were under his influence.
Let him alone. He's been through enough.
Has he, though? Because, okay, let's get into this, because Kirsten admits that she was very angry at Shaq for his decision, especially since she says they never spoke about it. She kept trying to talk about this going into decision day. And, you know, she came with receipts mm-hmm. to this reunion. She was you at this reunion. I know you had to admire her for that, because as much as you don't like her, she came. She did what you would have done. Like you said, only thing she didn't break out was the note cards.
She showed the whole tape. That's what she did. She looked at the whole tape. So apparently she was doing a lot more for Shaq than what was shown. And let me just, before I go further, let me just say this right now. I'm not apologizing for anything I said about her before. I still stand by that.
Of course.
For the same reasons I shared with this group. Mm-hmm. So is what it is. So I'm not about to go on an apology tour and be like, my bad, I'm not doing it.
So for those new, what were those reasons again?
I'm not going to go into that story. They can look at the old ones, but she reminds me of somebody who did not hurt me or did anything to me. Everyone always thought it was like, who hurt you, Terrell? No, she didn't hurt me at all. She made somebody feel good and hurt someone else. None of those two people were me. Let's just say that. So it's
like
interesting.
The way you put that.
Thank you. So Shaq is here in my neck of the woods here in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. But I still don't understand anything he was saying mm-hmm. about why it didn't work. And it sounds like Kirsten was trying to make for sure she did everything. She was the make for sure queen of relationships. So I applaud her.
Yes.
But Shaq, what more support than you need than from somebody that's trying to make for sure everything is going great in your life?
You know, she did everything for him, and she listed all the things she did to as you say, make for sure. As you and her say.
How does I say? As Kirsten says, I just wanted to use her words. She wants to make for sure. I'm gonna try like, that in a board meeting and just see what happens.
You act like Shaq was not on this episode, but because, you know, when asked about falling in love, he said he wanted to, but he couldn't because it was hard. let's not leave Shaq out of this now. But look, the thing about it is, he talked about needing more time together, and Kevin was like, well, you know, you had an opportunity to have more time.
Yes. You know, you could have did that. We just needed more time.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate how Kevin kept trying to dig mm-hmm. because, okay, what more time do you need? And Shaq was trying to make excuses as well, but work, personal life, filming and all that. And then that's when we hear from Kirsten that after the filming, that's when Shaq's starting to break down or he's just checking out. Mm-hmm. And all that, not really trying to push and fight for it. And then he kept going back to the support. Mm-hmm. He said, I can't be the husband that she wanted. And I love how Kevin dug into that, because I was like, what are you talking about?
And this is the part we're talking about. And this is why when Whitley called him tacky earlier, but this is what we this is why he's good at what he does. He dove into these conversations. Because Shaq tried the same BS that Harris did. He's like, ah, I can try that. No, you can't. Because Kevin's too good for this. And that's why he was able to dig further. Especially because remember, he said before, well, you know, I didn't know until I got out there. Well, why didn't you know? And come to find out, he spoke to a prophet. Defend your frat.
Look, I grew up in church at one point in my life, and then I left that. But at that time I did grow up in it, you would believe, mm-hmm. you know, and take really to heart, some of the prophets said, and I think Shaq's very religious, so maybe that did happen, that he spoke to the prophet, and through that, while the prophet's like pushing on him, leaning, trying to make him fall down to make it look like it's the spirit and not the physical weight. Not to say that that happens in churches, but maybe in that moment he was like, you know,
was he pushing backwards?
Normally it's pushing you forwards, or I'm sorry, push you backwards. Now, if you fall forward while they're pushing you, now that's a prophet. But maybe as Shaq was laying there, they throw the towel over his legs and he's thinking, he's like, I got to do what best for me. So that's what he did.
It made absolutely no sense. And in fact, you know, when he was like, you know, he didn't know he was going to say bullshit. And he says, as soon as he walked out, then he knew. Like, what was it that he walked out, saw, cursed him, went, nah, I'm good. What happened?
That's what I'm curious. It's like you were a yes. Mm-hmm. Until you come out, you said, hey, Pastor Cal. Hey, Dr. Pepper. It's a no for me. Now I just realized. Like, I thought that was odd.
Before you go on, Melissa has a very important question for you. What church hurt you, Terrell? Was it a Catholic church?
No church hurt me. It's just sometimes you grow up one way and then you change your mind and you do something different. Nothing that hurts you. You just like, this was a phase. This was a chapter in my book. Mm-hmm. And I closed that chapter. Started another one.
Look, the thing about it, he said he didn't think they were soulmates. I like how Kevin's like, a lot of people are married to people who are not their soulmates, right? Not yeah. everybody. And it's funny you say that. You know, somebody in the chat who said something similar. but it's one of those things where, you know, you never know who it is you're going to end up with. And he's just like, he needs more time. He needs more support. But then Kirsten's like, look. If you wanted to be married, because he's like, I still want to be married. He's like, no. If you wanted to be married, especially married to someone, then you don't ask for a divorce. If you want to be married, if you really want to be with me, why'd you ask for a divorce? Is what she was saying. Because he's still acting like he wants her.
Yes, but here's what she said. He still wants to be married, but not to her. And so for your point is, if you really want to be married, then why did you say no? It's like, well, I want to be married. Just not to you.
And so that's not the case because you see him now in regret for his decision.
I don't think he's in regret. It's fake.
Stop it.
I think it's fake. I don't. Okay. I really don't feel like.
Of course.
I think it's fake. I think he's just playing that up for the cameras. Mm. I don't think that he really wants to be with Kirsten. There's a reason why he said no, and I don't believe that he decided no as soon as he sat down on the decision day couch.
Yeah, chocolate. You're funny. Says, was it Kirsten's blue dress, low bun, or the bundles sitting weird? Like, what made you no on the couch?
Was it
a bad weave? I mean, there's no way I could actually take her to one of my events like this because Terrell will show up and say something about it, especially now that we're in Austin.
No, I wouldn't. I would walk up and be like, really, Shaq? Really? And if I run into him in Austin, I will totally give him the link and be like, yeah, I talked about you on our podcast. Good job. Great show. Welcome to Austin. Looking forward to what you're going to do at my alma mater, but I made fun of you on the podcast. And I'd rather you hear from me face to face.
Since you brought that up, you know, Indigo Blue has a great question. What's Shaq's new job? I know you did some research and found it.
Vice president of like marketing, innovation, Something like that. I can't remember 100% the title, but I can actually pull it up now. I just have it right here in front of me. But
so don't worry. It's not a speech. It's okay. He's not in charge of the speech and communications department.
No, he's not.
Dean of the English department.
he's the vice president for marketing, strategy, impact, and innovation. So whatever all that means and what he's doing for the students at Houston-Tillerson University, awesome.
Black Tornado says they were perfectly matched for how inarticulate they are. their kids would have had a rough time. But JG says, I don't think Shaq regrets it at all. So JG agrees with you in the fact that, you know, not believing that Shaq is... Because I still think he is playing that role of regretting it, right? Even though at this point, like Kirsten said, why were you crying? I mean, seriously, why was you crying if he's the one that did this? And again, she brought it up a lot during the show, but here at the reunion again, the same question, why?
Exactly. I think it is what it is with him. I don't believe that he feels sorry for what he did. I think he does want to be married for whatever reason or whatever support didn't happen that we will never know.
Yeah.
He doesn't want Kirsten, and that's totally fine. You know, but I do appreciate how Kirsten shed more light on things that she did and dealt with in a relationship, because of course I was like Team Shaq at one point about what are you doing?
Right.
But now I'm just like, dude, I don't know who you want to be with. And hopefully the counseling and therapy works. Positive. Not a lot of black men say I'm going to counseling, getting therapy. So
well, nowadays it's the end thing. So a lot more people are saying it now.
It's for likes.
Yes. Well, you know, come to find out, Shaq was also constantly talking about the 8 weeks while Kirsten was, you know, thinking of the lifetime. Like, you know, he's like, well, you know, when the 8 weeks are up, so he was ready to be out. Basically, is what it sounds like too.
He was counting it down. Look, we got 4 weeks left. that's more of him talking to himself to try to calm himself. You got 4 weeks left. Mm-hmm. We can get through this.
Yep. No, exactly. You know, so now we know we're going to get to the next part two, and we're going to dive into some of these other relationships and some of the other things, you know, the Dom and Clint kiss, and of course, what's happening with Gina and McKinley. Looking forward to this second part. Do you think it's going to be better than part one?
I'm hoping so. I want to look forward to it, but I know I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just trying to say, hey, whatever happens. I don't want to get too excited. I think if there's more drama, hopefully it all happened in part two compared to part one, but I'm just disappointed in what we've gotten so far.
I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit found on the internet. We'll talk about it on a regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.